Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 37, the third paragraph that begins with "In some circumstances," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Naomi B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Audrey M.P. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Shelley E., Kara L., and Mary G. The share ID for Monday, February 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,408. That's 16408. This morning's Tuesday, February 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 16,413. That's 16413. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, my friend. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. The 12 steps. 1, we admit that we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. And Audrey M.P., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, Team Tuesday. We're on our way, and I pass.
And thank you, Audrey MP. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 37. The third paragraph that begins with "in some circumstances," we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Shelley E., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas, buried in snow, but grateful to have electricity and warmth. And here we are on page 37, third paragraph. In some circumstances, we've gone up deliberately to get drunk, feeling ourselves justified by nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, or the like. But even in this type of beginning, we are obliged to admit that our justification for a spree was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. We now see that when we begin to drink deliberately instead of casually, there was little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation of what the terrific consequences might be. And I'm really glad I got this paragraph. Growing up, I'm sure I was a compulsive overeater, but I wasn't a fat child or a teen. But I do remember a pivotal moment when I felt I was justified, and I was newly married, and I wasn't able to handle men even just talking to me. I felt like, I'm a married woman, don't they know this? And I literally remember a conscious decision I made to start burying myself in food so I would be less attractive. And while I think I was already a compulsive eater, or I come from a family of compulsive eaters, although none of them are heavy, that was the moment that I really took on the cloak. And it's amazing to me, thinking back, it reminded me, talk about insanely insufficient decision. So I know, as I said, that I was a compulsive eater at that moment, and I was just in a holding pattern. And at that moment, it was my takeoff. And from that moment on, I ate for any reason. It didn't matter. It could be these reasons listed in the book, but happiness, any reason. Every day was like Thanksgiving, literally. And I have a sister who's bulimic, and so I knew what real binging looked like, and I didn't recognize it in myself. I didn't recognize that a binge could be every day, all day, every moment you're awake. I started the moment I woke up, and I didn't quit till my head hit the pillow. And I did that sitting up because I was so fat and full, I couldn't lay down. And that was one of my terrific consequences. I was constantly in a food fog, although I didn't even know what that was. I knew I ate too much. I knew I was obese. I knew food was my best friend, my lover, my confidant, and yet I still didn't recognize it as disease. because my disease is very convincing. It knows my weak spots. It can still try to edge its way in and convince me it's the only thing in my corner. I'm grateful today as a recovered overeater. I have something much greater now that's actually in my corner, my higher power. I know now that what I didn't know then, I know the sound of his voice versus the sound of the voice of disease. And God's voice for me is in the pause. Disease doesn't want me to pause because once I pause and listen for God, disease doesn't stand a chance. I'm so grateful I figured that out. It's so important to me to pause. Lastly, if you're new here, welcome. And as I say, stay for the miracle. If I experienced it, I know you can too. Thank you for letting me share. And everybody have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. Okay. Just a reminder, again, we are on page 37, the third paragraph that begins with, in some circumstances. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share? Who has not shared in the past 3 days? If I could get your name, the initial of your last name.
Sarah, New York City.
Naomi B.
Roz,
Philadelphia.
Roz G.
Liz S.
Okay, I have Kara. Kara, what's the first initial of your last name? L?
That may be me, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-B,
oh,
Sarah B.
Sarah.
Okay, thank you.
I always do that to you, Sarah. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Okay, and I have Naomi B, Roz G, Liz F.
Robin P.
Elena
P. And Helena C. I think I got that right. Okay, so Sarah B., Naomi B., Roz G., Liz S., Robin P., and Helena C. So go ahead, please, Sarah B.
Okay.
Is W? Isabel W.
Okay. Go ahead, Sarah. Sorry.
Hi, this is. Good morning, everyone. This is Sarah B., recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. I'm grateful to be in this program. Thank you so much, Shelley. I so related. It's kind of like my story. I was not heavy as a child or a teen, and I was actually on the anorexic side. And when I was in college, and I didn't deliberately lose weight as much as I had ended up losing, I wanted to lose a little, and that part of the disease took over. And for me, I did such deliberate, hateful, vengeful, angry, depressive eating when life as a thin person, as I had thought, model thin, I thought models were perfect and had a great life because they were always smiling on those magazine covers. I was so upset that life wasn't perfect when I thought I looked perfect. And it was so debilitating. It was like those were my 12 steps. And when life as a thin person didn't work, I was completely lost. I thought, you know, we all know this, I thought the outsides meant the insides were great, and if I looked perfect, got A's, did everything right, my life would be fine, people would leave me alone, you know, in a good way, but they would love me and like me, there'd be no criticism, et cetera, et cetera. It would be like nirvana. It was this fantasy, and it was really all I had. And I came into program, and I honestly, I mean, I was eating. I gained so much weight one summer. It was definitely addictive, destructive eating. I was angry. Everything they said in this paragraph, I really kind of felt justified, like I was lost. I didn't know what to do. So I came into OA through someone telling me that there was this program, and I was, like, shocked, but I knew, and I didn't want to be thin. I really didn't want to be thin again, but I knew I could not keep eating at the rate I was eating. It was really, really horrible. I lost so much of life and so many things, so to speak. And then I came in, and for 2 years, this was right after college, for 2 years I was in and out, half measures availed me half, and finally, I wanted what the women, a lot of women were there. It was the Westminster program several, many years ago. I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had from the inside out. And it looked so, like they had so much, and I really had just was so lost at that time. So I dove in, and I finally got abstinent and followed the directions and did the big book and didn't have foods that weren't on my food plan. And it was a slow change. It was revolutionary. And today I've come to realize that the 12 steps were really what I needed to live, Thank God I have a, okay body today. I did lose the weight. It came off slowly, but that was secondary because I was so afraid of being thin again. So always really helped me. Visions, particularly now, has really helped me live as a serene, abstinent, sober, thought, body, mind, spiritual person. So I so appreciated your story, and thanks everyone for being on this morning.
Thank you, Sarah B. from New York. And Naomi B., you're up, followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Naomi.
Well, thank you. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. Well, not to piggyback on the last lady that was so elegantly sharing, I never had a thin problem. I mean, that never happened in my life. What this paragraph resonates to me was, I'll show you. I'm going to eat all this food and shove it in my face, but I'll spite you. Yeah, that was the delusion I live with. I'll show you. I'll go consume all this food. I'll get all this weight on. I'll show you. I call that my spite eating. Yeah, so who was the one that suffered with that stupidity? It's just, this disease is just, cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's pale to what it can do to a person. And that's why working the steps, having a God conscience, being close to God, having a fellowship, having those around you to support you, this is gold. I mean, it's like if I make amends now to the end of the earth, I physically have to forgive myself on how I treated my daughters growing up. Because unfortunately, this disease took over. But they have forgiven me. And I was once told God puts our eyes in the front of our face so we can look forward. And this is what I'm doing. I'm looking forward. I only have today. I'm not promised tomorrow. And I don't have to binge eat. I don't have to spite eat anymore. I'm free. And all I have is today. Thank you for allowing me to share. And I just love you guys. 10 years without hoagies and Doritos. I mean, who does that, And I blame it all on God, lovingly. And I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. in Pennsylvania. Okay, Roz G., you're up, followed by Liz S.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G. I'm from Los Angeles, Palmdale, California. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I just want to say that this paragraph, it's what's speaking to me is the buildup of human emotion and the reasons for me to eat. As a compulsive overeater, I can find any reason, any emotion to eat. If I'm angry, I want to, crunch. I want to crunch something over and over, and I just want to keep piling that crunchiness in my mouth. And if I'm depressed, I want something smooth and soft so that I can, just kind of let it glide down my throat and so I can feel happier. And when I'm happy, I want to eat, spongy, cakey things, right? I remember my very first sponsor in another program. This was in the 80s or in the 90s maybe. And I was angry about something, and I had not a clue about anything. And I told her I was angry at my husband for doing this and this and this. And she said something to me about justifiable anger, and I don't get to practice my disease just because of it. And I'm telling you, being justifiably angry is for me, if I'm not a recovered person, it feels great because I'm justified, you pissed me off, and I get to retaliate. No, no, no. No, no, no. The Big Book tells me to avoid retaliation and that love and tolerance is my code. And today I've been abstinent for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in July, although I've been in OA a very long time. I've had to learn that whatever feeling I'm feeling is not a justifiable reason for me to eat. I have a food plan and I need to follow it. And I was on a group call yesterday with some ladies, and we were going over some fears. And I had a light bulb moment. Even through all this pandemic and me not getting what I want and me having some to deal with some fears and some financial fears coming up, I'm not eating. And I haven't eaten the whole time. Of course I've eaten, but you know what I mean. I haven't eaten compulsively this whole time. This program really works. It really does. So I don't have to deliberately eat at something. If something's bothering me, I need to go to my higher power, to God, put out my hands and say, God, please help me. I'm angry, or whatever it is. I'm depressed. I'm jealous. Thank you. And I'll wrap up by saying, I bring it to God, not to my mouth. Without that pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G in California. And Liz S., you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire. I was thinking about this reading, and boy, did it take me back to some miserable and unhappy, dreadful times. I had, at one point, I was just binging because I had no reason. I got into this period of doing it day after day after day after day. And then what happened was I got to a point where I overate, and my rationale was, I'll be okay tomorrow. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. And I really believed it until the next day when I would binge again. And I always thought, I'll be fine tomorrow. And I really believed that until the next day, and I would do it again. And I think that despite the memory of yesterday, it didn't matter. And when I was in the throes of it, it was dreadful. I remember one woman saying to me, you look like you're pregnant. And I was horrified, but I still binged that night. And it really was phenomenal to me. How it just took hold of me. I didn't have any reason. I couldn't justify it. It just was part of my routine. It was part of my life. It was something I just did, and I couldn't stop. And then when I finally had some abstinence and I broke it, it was a question of this, I'll be fine tomorrow. And of course, I never was fine tomorrow. And I've gotten to the point now where I realize there is no fine tomorrow, Liz. You know, fine tomorrow could be 5 years. And my 10-year binge lasted, 10-year relapse started with taking back a food that I had let go. And, you know, all hell broke loose. So I know now, you stick to your food plan and that's it. And you don't pick up what you can't pick up because you don't know what's going to happen. And you won't be fine tomorrow. There is no fine tomorrow. So I really have to keep that green, very, very green. And reading this reminded me of the insanity that I went through and the things that I did that I'd never done with the food before. So I'm very, very grateful for this reading and my past. Thank you.
And thank you, Liz S. in New Hampshire. Robin P., good morning. You're up, followed by Helena C.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Kathleen, for filling in and doing such a great job. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, currently. You know, just in some circumstances, we've gone out deliberately. Wow. And then the justification for a spree was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. You know, just so much loss and so much hiding and so much isolation and so much fear and just so much Russian roulette. And I'm so grateful that I don't live like that today. You know, that there's so much going on in my life that would have been way beyond the excuses for acting out with food and for numbing with food or whatever. You know, my husband has needs surgery, has an illness and needs surgery, and we have a lot going on with my company and manufacturing issues and all kinds of stressors that are just beyond anything I've ever dealt with before. And still, I know the food is not the solution. It was never the solution. You know, it was my fake God. It's what I went to all the time as my God, and it never once worked. If it did work, I would not be here on these lines. You know, and God is my solution, and these steps and my relationships with my, you know, with God and my fellows and being of service today. And I just get to have faith, you know, and I just keep knowing that this is a faith walk, not a fear walk, and not a rest on my laurels walk, but literally every day a faith walk. And I just get to keep reaching out and reaching up, you know, and I'm really grateful for all of you. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day, and I'm so grateful I got to share. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P. in Florida. Elena C., you're up, followed by Isabel W. Go ahead, please, Elena.
So it's Elena, E-L-E-N-A-C, as in cat. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for everyone for the service and for the comments. What I read in this paragraph is the period of premeditation of doing our addiction and the consequences of after that, and how, you know, in some circumstances, the premeditation of what we're going to do, what I'm going to do, you know, I'm relating to myself, what I'm going to do, it wins in face of the consequences that I'm going to take. So there were so many situations when the period of premeditation and my cravings and my liking for the sugary stuff and chocolates, you know, was so powerful. And I could care less about the consequences. I didn't even think about the consequences. And, you know, it wasn't because necessarily I feel nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy. But I felt very excited. I would have been invited at a party, and, you know, I would make sure that I'm the one who brings the cake. Not all the time, but, you know, like, I can bring the cake if there was a pot or a party or something. And I would get a cake that I like, you know, and that was the premeditation that I'm going to have as much as I want. I didn't think to even have just one. And that was like, because there were here and there. However, in between, I was still binging. So, you know, and when I came into the program, I didn't come to stay in the program. I just wanted everybody to give me a food plan and I can lose my weight and then I'm gone. And it doesn't work that way. Like, I found out that I need a sponsor. I can't be by myself. And that I need to work the steps of the program, which I was also resentful of because I was in another program and I was already working on the steps, you know, and I had a higher power. Yet this one is different. It's bringing my higher power into my desire and will of like eating or not eating and in all aspects of my life, actually. And for that, I'm grateful that, you know, I'm abstinent today, recovered, and I can thank you all. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Elena C. And Isabel W., you're up. And before we take you, Isabel, I just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 37, the third paragraph that begins with "in some circumstances." I'll be taking some more names for comments on that paragraph. So go ahead, please.
Okay, so I'm not going to take too much time. I'm new to this group. This is my first time, my first meeting.
and I'm not as eloquent as all of you yet. But I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Okay, well, good to have you here with us. Thank you so much. Thanks. And is it Isabel W? Did I get your initial right? I think she muted. Okay. So, yes, go ahead, Isabel.
My initial was correct, yes.
And what state are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, great. Thanks so much, Isabel W.
Thank you.
New Jersey. Okay. So, if you haven't shared in the past 3 days and you'd like to share on page 37, the third paragraph, I can take some more names.
Judy S.
Was it Judy S?
Yes.
Okay.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Dina P.
Jody H.
I heard Jody H. and Gina. What was your initial?
It's Dina with a D. Dina B.
B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dina.
Mary Ellen.
Sandy S.
Okay, I got
Bonnie J. M.
I got Mary Ellen. What was your initial, Mary Ellen? Mary Ellen, initial of your last name? Okay, and I think, say that again.
G is in tango.
G is in tango. Okay, and then did I hear a Sandy? And I heard a Bonnie. Bonnie, what's your initial?
J-M.
J-M. And did I hear a Sandy? Okay, maybe I did not hear a Sandy. Okay, so let me stop with those. I have Judy S, Mo H, Dina B, Jody H, Mary Ellen T, and Bonnie J M. And if you want to give me your state when you announce yourself also. So go ahead, please, Judy S.
Good morning. I'm Judy S as in Sam. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. This paragraph just brought so much back to me. I've been in OA for 10 years. I lost like 175 pounds the first 2 years, but I realize now I used it as a diet with group support. Barely cracked the big book during that time. I didn't even know about it. I mean, I knew of it, but not about it. And then I started listening to Vision for You when it first started, and I lived for 8 years in relapse. In and out, sometimes long enough to be recovered in sponsoring. And, you know, I used all of these things. And I felt very justified. You know, I'm depressed. I want to eat. I'm worried, you know. And now I have step 10s to take care of all those things. And it's such a relief. And when I first got a sponsor, one of the things she said is, why do you have any inkling of why you kept going back to the food? And I had prayed about that, you know, once I put down the food. And I realized I never, ever had a fellowship. And it was so amazing. So I got to work. I never made any phone calls when I was in LA, except to my sponsor. And I got busy and I started making phone calls. You know, I wrote down newcomers' names. I wrote down sponsors' names because I knew those were the people who were recovered. And when I called those people, I didn't call them the day they gave me their number. I waited a few days. And when I'd call, I'd say, you know, can I call you for outreach calls? And every one of them, you know, all the recovered sponsors said, yes, of course, I'd love it. And so I have this whole community fellowship of people around me that support me and then call me back. And somebody on the 8 o'clock meeting shared that same thing. And it has totally changed my program. I'm recovered sponsoring. I got in back in the day after Thanksgiving last year. And I just cannot tell you how grateful I am for this program and for all the people who started it and all the wonderful people who continue to keep it going. And again, my name is Judy S. from Wisconsin, and I'm on the membership list. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Judy S. from Wisconsin. Good morning, Mo H. You are up, followed by Dina B.
Hi, this is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. Glad to be of service this morning. God is in charge. Well, here we have two paragraphs are telling us different reasons why I ate. You know, one is we don't know. It just happens. And the other one is, you know, we do it deliberately. So this paragraph today is we do it deliberately. And that was reminding me of, you know, a situation, and I appreciate all the shares before me because everybody has their story, and their story helps my story. But I felt justified to eat. I had given a very dedicated service to my region that was very, very, very difficult for me. And I didn't know at that time how to do 10 steps. So the resentment, the frustration, the anger, the unwillingness some days to do the service just built and built and built. And the day that service ended, it was a Sunday, I remember on Monday, I thought I picked up deliberately. I mean, I thought I picked up unknowingly, but now that I think about it, it was deliberate. I was going to get back at all that work I had done and eat. And I picked up sugar. And sugar for me is deadly, absolutely deadly. Sugar mixed with, you know, all the other ingredients that makes those supposedly wonderful things that taste well that I have not had in 5 years. I will have 5 years of abstinence. Neutral abstinence this coming March, and I am totally grateful for that because it has really been a godsend since my husband's passing. It's been something I could focus on, was just keep the food sane. So, yes, deliberate. My cat's on my book, and I like to look at the words. There was another thing. So this was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. And Roseanne, in her book, Beyond My Wildest Dreams, talks about never forget the last binge. Never forget the last binge. Because if I forget, then I'm going to do it again. I have to remember the pain and the torture that I go through every time I pick up, and I don't want to ever go through that again, please God. So I do 10 steps when those feelings arise, and literally there's more than one a day. So, you know, work on your 10 steps, and thank you very much, and grateful to be here. I pass.
And thank you, Mo H. from California. And I just want to let you know we're probably not going to have time for everyone this morning. So if we don't, please put your name in tomorrow. And if anyone wants to do like a 2-minute share, we might be able to get more people in. So Dina B., go ahead. You're up, followed by Jody H.
Sorry, can I ask what page again?
Hi, this
page
is 30. Dina B.
Dina, hold on 1 second. Page 37, sure. The third paragraph. Okay, sorry, Dina, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Dina B. I live in New Hampshire, and I've never shared before, but this paragraph really spoke to me, and also concerning the word deliberately. There were times when I ate deliberately, I did it with the full knowledge of what I was doing. I knew I wouldn't get back on track. I accepted all the consequences. And I knew that this disease would kill me, and I accepted all that. I chose the food. My delusion was that I thought I was making the choice when really I was succumbing to this addiction. I knew that I was devoting my love and my life to an inanimate object, and this is what ended up helping me
have a spiritual awakening, and how I got abstinent about 7 years ago. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dina B. from New Hampshire. Jody H., you're up, followed by Mary Ellen T.
My name is Jody H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and worrier. Grateful today. And I have a short share. When we read this reading, I said to myself, I remember I'm sitting in my living room right now, and I can see the spot on the way to the kitchen where I had an awakening, because I had just found out that my stepfather passed away, who I was very close to. And all these emotions were washing over me, these worrying about my mother, and worrying about who was I going to find for a spiritual advisor, and all these questions and feelings, and this ache in my stomach that said, eat, eat, eat. And I said to myself, wait a minute. My higher power doesn't want me to regain all the weight that I've lost and regain all the wonderful people I've met and the wonderful program of Overeaters Anonymous that has set me free from the compulsion to eat. And I said that to myself, and I said, wow, that is a higher power moment, and I'm glad that I live in the same place that it happened at, because I can look at that place in the hallway and say to myself, that's where I met God, and God met me when I had an emotional need to justify overeating or compulsive overeating. And that's all I got for today. Thanks.
Thank you, Jody H. in Maine. And Mary Ellen T., you're up, followed by Bonnie J.M. If you want to cut it a little short, we may be able to get both of you in.
Sure, that sounds good. My name is Mary Ellen T. Good morning, everybody. And I wanted to share about, first off, last night, higher power, I feel like it was higher power, just kind of woke me up in the middle of my sleep around 3 o'clock in the morning. And, it just was a nudge, and, I tried to doze back, and I kept getting nudged. And finally, I just felt like, okay, I guess I'm getting shoved actually out of bed. And I got myself up and ready and prayed, and just was exactly what I needed. And all of that's to say, that I don't know that I would have done that before recovery, because I've certainly spent a lot of years driven on self propulsion, and still in recovery. I struggle with that. But this is, from the paragraph, it talks about, there's little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation. And, I know that those areas of premeditation still come up in my life. And I struggle, I might be thinking about a food item, but now, because I've invested so much time and effort into recovery and to getting to know higher power and trying to learn what is surrender, and what is it that, that I'm doing wrong, how can I get this surrender? And it's really just all this time and effort that, now I get nudges and I'm like, oh, that's higher power talking to me. And it's just such a beautiful gift, because there's been a lot of failures, a lot of relapses in the past couple of years, but with it has just come a lot of strength and growth and opportunity for me to continue to listen to the nudges, especially when they push me out of bed at 3:30 in the morning to go meet higher power and learn a little bit more about surrender. That's all I have. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. And Bonnie, I'm sorry, we're not going to have time because we're at the end of the meeting, but please do call in tomorrow, because we want to hear what you, your experience on this paragraph or the next one tomorrow. So
thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Tuesday this morning. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., would you please read A Vision for You?
I'd be happy to. Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.